Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Amen. Wonderful group of people. And again, I'm sure that Pastor Bill will be back next Sunday, refreshed and ready to go and minister the word. Today is, Stevie has already ran off. This is his last Sunday with you all. How many sad? I would be sad too. What a wonderful ministry that he has had here, him and Heather. And so again, pray for them as they head out. I know you already have. Good things have already happened by blessing them and ministering to them, but it's tough to go from here to somewhere else and do other things, but him and Heather are going to do a great, great job. I thought this morning that it's not necessarily how they are doing with the transition. Larry, everybody doing okay over here? Oh, okay. All right. Well, they're thinking that they only have a half hour, 45 minutes to an hour to get down to where they're at occasionally. So I'm sure they'll be heading down there a little bit. Amen. And un poquito. That's from my Spanish down in Houston. Un poquito. And so they're going to have a great time at that. But I really, really, really try to develop a fluffy sermon. I said, I've been gone for, 13, 14 years, and except for your 75th, celebration of your church, I was here for that. I said, it's been all these years, and why don't I develop a fluffy sermon for today? And matter of fact, I had my family, I said, well, what do you think I should preach on? And, love and peace and joy and all of these things. And the Lord did not let me. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm here today with this message. But whenever Jackie and I retired, matter of fact, heading up to retirement, I don't know if you know it or not, but Jackie and I were in Houston, Texas, right outside of Houston, Texas, for about 14 years. And she was an RN for 47 years. And so she said, I'm sick of it. I'm retiring. I said, I'm with you. So we both retired, and we're trying to figure out money-wise if we really can. I was talking to Gene. See, you're sitting up here again. I was talking to Gene this morning. He says, I'm driving for Walmart and making... I said, maybe I should do this. So we'll see after a few months of being retired whether it's you can actually pull it off or not. But we're having a great, great, great time. We're down by Campbellsburg and Salem, between those areas, in a neat house in a neat area. So it's only about a half hour up here. So me and Jackie have been talking about making this just our home church, and we'll probably just do that if you guys will have us. Praise the Lord. Amen. But as I was thinking about today, the Lord brought this message to me, and it's not a brand new one. I preached it one other time, and it's only been a few months ago that I preached it. It's a little different than I have this morning. But the Lord has been bombarding my heart and my life with this message. And so I get to try it out again on you all today again. And so it's very, very simply put, you must be born again. How's that? You must be born again. Now I want to ask you a very simple question this morning. Now I'm not talking about being born again. How many in this room today has been born again? Is there any non-born people in this room? Well, I don't think there's any non-born people in this room. Every one of us here today has had a similar experience, I'm sure. Your mama got pregnant, and you went your term limits, and then you pop out, and this angry doctor or nurse grabs you and smacks you, and you realize, I'm alive, and you start screaming and hollering and doing your thing, and from that moment, you start growing and prospering in many ways. You have the good times and the bad times associated with your life. How many has ever been in sports? How many has ever won something in sports? How many has ever never won a single thing in sports? How many has graduated from high school? College? Matter of fact, some of you may have your doctorate. People with doctorates intimidate me. When we went to the church down in Deer Park, Texas, outside of Houston, I'm up there preaching, and then I realized that we have like three or four people that have doctorates in the church. And I'm going, what in the world am I doing up here trying to tell these people something about the Lord? But whenever you get born, there are certain things that are good. You get to live life. Most of us breathe. Most of us walk and talk and get about life. Again, we play sports. We do things. We find the love of our lives. Right down there is mine. 47 years of being married. It's a marvelous thing. Thank you. And you get to this point where just because you are born, good things happen to you, tough things happen to you, positive and negatives happen to you, but it's all because you were born of a woman, your mother, and you started being raising up in this day and this age. So we can look around about us, and we don't see any people here today that are not born. Jesus is minding his own business, and in John chapter 3, 1 through 7, there's a guy named Nicodemus comes to Jesus. If you've been around church at any length of time, you know this scripture. It says that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night. Now, down through my years of pastoring and hearing other people, everybody makes this big deal about, you know, him coming at night. Well, I don't know if there's a big deal. Maybe he works afternoon shift. I don't know. But he comes to Jesus at night and he says, Rabbi, he starts buttering Jesus up. And he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher that has been sent from God. No one can perform the signs you are doing if God did not send him or was not with him. And Jesus seems to interrupt him almost instantly, it sounds like to me, and just simply cuts him off from all of the vanity that he's trying to put on Jesus. And Jesus replies, verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And I'm sure that Nicodemus says, what did that have to do with what I was just saying? You're a great man, come from God, we're excited to have you here, we know God is with you, and you just flip this all around and tell me that I have to be born again. Now to us in this church and in Christendom, we've understood that wording of being born again. Nicodemus had never heard that phrase, that those words put together. And I'm sure he's scratching his head and going, what in the world are you talking about, Jesus? Well, Nicodemus asked the question that every one of us probably would have asked at that time. Is it possible to be stuffed back into your mother's womb? Any moms ready for that? You stuffed back into your mother's womb and then be reborn again. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. A birth that allows you to be reborn in the spiritual realm. You and I are born and shapen in iniquity. We are all sinners whenever we enter this world. And it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how moral you are. It doesn't matter how good you are in any way, shape, or form. You are not saved unless you are born again. Well, you could preach the sermon for me. I remember being up at our first pastorate, Jackie and I's first pastorate in Lowell, Indiana, up around Gary Hammond area. And I don't remember the setting for this, but I was preaching sort of a community type message. And it was my job to preach on being born again. And I had a guy come to me after the service and said, I need to talk to you just for a few moments. And I said, sure, what is it? You're preaching on being born again. I've never heard of that. My preacher has never preached on that. I don't know anything about it. What do you mean you have to be born again? And so we sat for a while, and I talked to them for just a little while, and he left after a while, got in his car, and went on. But the thing that I remember is that I learned who he was and what he was and all this kind of stuff. He had been in church all of his life. At this point, he was an elder in his church, a deacon in his church. He was the pillar of his church. If you went to his church and you would ask, who's the pillar of this congregation? They would go, Brother so-and-so over there. But he had never, ever even heard of being born again. You say, well, maybe he just, got saved a different way. Maybe he somehow morphed into being saved. Well, you don't morph into being saved, people. There was a young kid here in this church that attended our youth group. Some of you may remember him, I don't know. But he was a Muslim background, and he was Islamic in religion. But he started coming to our youth group, and he went to all of our youth events, our church camps, our Thanksgiving events, and all these things. He actually would be in some of the plays and productions that the youth would do. And so I went over there after a Wednesday night service, and the youth pastor was there, and he was there, and some other people. And I just said to this young man, oh, I am so glad that you have become a Christian. Look at you. You come from this Muslim background, this Islamic background, and here you are, a Christian. And he's, oh, no, Pastor, wait. I'm not a Christian. You're not a Christian. No, I'm Islamic still. What are you doing here then? Why do you come here? Well, I like the youth pastor. He's a great guy. I like, the people here. They're my friends. I go to school with them. I like the activities. I like traveling with the group. I just like it here. It's a wonderful place. Good people. But he had never, ever, ever been born again. And he was very honest about it. He just says, this is just not true about me. We like to think that people, because, in the people that are born and unborn, we can't see the unborn, so we have no recollection of them. But we see the non-born again and the born again. And what confuses us is that the born again and the non look a lot alike, and we act a lot alike, and we go through the same motions. I've always been concerned about people that are born and raised in church. I was one of those. My mother popped me out and threw me underneath a pew in the church, and I eventually found out I was in church about 9 months later. I pulled myself out. Hey, what is this? People dancing around and stomping on you and all that kind of good stuff. That was old Pentecost. And so you had to watch yourself when you crawled out from underneath the pew. But the fact of the matter is, I learned growing up in church how to look like a Christian, how to talk like a Christian, how to behave like a Christian. And so I had it all down. And I have to tell you that at about 15 years old, and if you remember me from being here in the pastor, you've probably told this story before. But I remember being about 15 years old, and I was sitting about halfway back in a little shotgun church, and the Lord reached down from heaven and convicted my life, convicted my standing with Him. And I walked down an aisle that day, and I knelt at an altar, and I got saved. I got born again. I was not a terrible person. I got a little smoke occasionally, on the side of the road when no one's watching, me and my buddies done a little stupid things. But I was not a sinner. I was by any person's thought process. But that night in that church, I recognized my lostness. I recognized my need of God to save me. And I walked down an aisle and got saved that night. Now, I have not been perfect since then. You'd have to say it so ugly. Just a nice amen right there would have been okay. And so I went down to an altar and I got saved. Now, I have to tell you, can I tell you something? If Jesus would have come, or I would have died before that moment of being born again, I would have not went to heaven. You say, but you were such a nice guy. I was a nice guy. So you didn't do terrible things. No, I didn't do terrible things. But here is Jesus talking to a Pharisee. I mean, he's a religious giant in their day and their age. His acknowledgement of righteousness was the sacrifices and the feast and going to the temple and all these things. And Jesus looked square at him and said, you got to be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. Wow. You and I need to be born again. And most of you are. Maybe all of you are. But it's sort of interesting, down through my years as a pastor, that I have talked to congregations, Sunday schools, individuals, and I would ask them, when was you born again? Now, don't raise your hand if you can or cannot remember. And I would say, when was you born again? And some people, like myself, I could raise my hand and say, that night, at that time, I came down to the altar and I got saved. Not perfect. Not just, you know, God had to still deal with me. But I got saved that night. Some people, and a lot of people, I will tell you, has told me, my pastor, I don't know. I sort of always was. I've loved Jesus forever. I've been going to this church forever, and I've sort of always been saved. The idea of morphing into Christianity goes this. If you ever look up the word morphed, it means to change smoothly from one image to another by small, gradual steps. And so you think that coming to church, you think that coming and sitting on a pew, you think that coming and just being a part of the church saves you. It does not. There is a moment in your life when salvation happens to you. It's not a gradual morphing. Now, the Holy Spirit may be dealing with your life for months and years. I realize that. You know, convicting you of your sin and drawing you to Him and all these kind of things. But I don't care how long He's been dealing with you. It takes that one moment in your life where you are born again. If you look at what happens during salvation, I won't go to all the scriptures, but you are a sinner. You've been born a sinner and you've grown up a sinner, and by that you're in the kingdom of Satan. You are. You're in the kingdom of Satan. And one day the Holy Spirit reaches down and grabs you and says, you need me for your personal Savior. And you agree at that moment that, yes, I need Jesus as my personal Savior, and so you ask the Lord to become your Lord and your Master. You die at that very moment in the kingdom of Satan. Satan was standing right there and said, where in the world did Gene just go? He was standing right here in front of me just a minute ago, and now he's gone. And guess what? You get to raise the newness of life in the kingdom of God now. And the Scripture says that when we raise in the newness of life, we get to drink of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's different than the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you drink of the Holy Spirit and you are made new. Now, my question is, how could you have missed that happening in your life? How could you not point back to a particular time in your life and say, I really believe this is when Jesus came into my life? This idea with this thought of, oh, well, I've always been a Christian. Oh, well, I've always been around the church. I've just been this Christian person all of my life. No, it's not true. There is a moment in time whenever you pass from death to life and you drink of the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, I want you as my Lord and my Savior, and salvation comes to your life. Peter says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruption, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, it's sort of funny that you can take this physical body and you can remove the brain, but you don't see human reasoning in it. You can tear apart the whole body, muscles and bones and organs and everything, but you don't find the spirit of man in there. You can take out the heart of an individual that pumps the blood, but in it is not the heart that is talked about in the Word of God. And so we go through this thing, and none of this happens to work. The body without the spirit is dead, it says in James. Whenever I was born on this earth, good guy as I was, born in church, laid underneath a pew, danced on by people as they worshiped God, I was a sinner until I was born again. Now again, think about this. The unborn has no, they have nothing to do with what you all experience. And the only reason you can experience life is because you were born. We don't look at the unborn and say, well, they're really almost born. You know, unless there's somebody pregnant here today and you're almost born. You know, no, they're unborn. They have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. They have nothing to do with the things of God. They have nothing to do with the experiences that God has brought to us. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things I've ever found in my life is this ideal of being born again. In all of my years of pastoring, I have preached on a little, literally everything under the sun, as most pastors do. From the joy of God, the peace of God, healing, deliverance, salvation, you know, all kinds of stuff. But if you have not experienced the born-again experience, you have no, you know nothing about the spiritual realm. You say, well, I know people that are not born again, and they know the Bible. No, they don't. Oh, they've studied the church. They know all about that. No, they don't. Because they are the same people that are the unborn right now that knows nothing about what you're going through. The only people that know the things of God, the only people that know the plan of God, the purpose of God. We sang a wonderful song up here today about what God gives to us. He only gives it to the people that are born again. And what I am concerned about as a pastor, is that we occasionally, I don't think this church and Pastor Bill is a strong preacher, but that we as a congregation, we as just individuals, fail to tell people that they need Jesus and they need born again. I've been told down through my years that this kind of preaching is not very loving and kind. You know? And I may have used this illustration here years ago because it's the same illustration I use today. If I could show you in this that today there's a road going from this way to this way, and there's tons of cars on this road, but as it goes around the corner, the bridge is out and people are falling to their death. There are two individuals there beside this road, and both of them know that the bridge is out. And one of them stands on the side where everybody's flying by, and he's waving at them and saying, hey, good, you know, good job. You go, girl, and you have a great day, and the Lord loves you, and yeah, you just have a wonderful day, as people run by that person headed to the bridge that is out. The other guy or the other person runs out into the middle of the road and attempts to stop people. He tries to turn them around. Don't go this way, he says. Don't go down that path. There's a bridge that is out. Please stop and don't go that way. And of course, you know what's happening. People are screaming at him, honking at him, giving him gestures. And they're, get out of my way. You're hindering my life. My question to each and every one of us here today is, who is showing more love to those people on that road? The person on the side of the road saying, hey, you're great, you're wonderful, yeah, go, yeah, sure, sure, sure. Or the person that is out in the middle of the road, basically, you know, putting their life on the line to try to stop people and say, don't go this way. I can answer that question for you. It is the person in the road that is trying to stop people from going the wrong direction. That is the person that really loves people instead of the one on the sideline wishing them well and doing good. And, hey, you're blessed, go, go, go. It is that we must be born again. It's amazing to me Religion can do a lot of things. It can help some people strap a bomb on and blow you up. That's religion. Religion can solve our minds sometimes and help us feel better about life. But whenever you get into salvation, oh, what a blessing the salvation is whenever you're truly born again. It allows you to overcome sin. Amen. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:18. What an amazing thing. Now, there's a scripture in the Word of God, and I don't think I have it even here with me. It says the person that is born again does not sin. Drives me crazy. Come on, anybody? The person that's born again does not sin. And I'm going, Lord, could you have please left that out of the Bible, please? Because I know, now I know this is a shock to some people here, I've sinned a few times in my life. I know that's tough. I just blew my wife's mind. Ugh. We all come to that place where we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a person called Jesus that is our advocate between ourselves and the Father, the judge that makes intercession for us. Amen. And so we recognize that we do sin. But the Bible says if you're born again, you will overcome sin because you will not be an habitual sinner. And that's really what that scripture says. You will not continue on it. And so, you know, especially during communion times and things like this in my life, I've told the people this blood that you're getting ready to take, this grape juice that you're getting ready to take, it is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it can forgive you of sin and also help you not fall over the continual sin that you have fallen over. Because I want to tell you what. Every single one of us have different things that we struggle with. Larry, what was yours? You had your hand way up. No, I know. I don't want to know. No, we won't go there. I joke with people that there are some people that walk into Wally World, Walmart, and they have to refrain from stealing something. I can go in there and it doesn't bother me a bit. There's other people that if they had a choice between telling the truth or a lie, they'd pick the lie. It's just what they struggle with. I don't do that much. You and I have different things that we struggle with. But the Bible says we are made free from sin. What is this born-again experience all about? It is to free us from sin, set us free from the things that we used to fall over constantly. Our job in life and our calling in life is to be like Jesus Christ. That's what our job in life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The victory that we have because of the born-again experience lets us have victory over our vices. A similar thing. Ephesians says, that person that stole, don't steal anymore. Get to work, get to labor, do something good with your hands. If you notice the lady that was brought to Jesus, caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus writes something on the ground and everybody goes, oh, and they run away. He doesn't say, oh, those dirty, rotten, filthy people. And that's not the only thing he says. He says, your sins are forgiven. Now do what? Go and sin no more. It is our job in life to say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. And I'm not going to look at the world we live in as well, you know, everybody sort of is a Christian. Matter of fact, years ago, I preached a series in Deer Park called Too Hot to Handle. And so they were hot topics of the moment. And I preached on homosexuality. And I talked about God's love and care for homosexuals, and He could change their hearts and change their lives. And you know, they're not necessarily born that way. You know, God can. And really, the junior high, the senior highs and the college kids went berserk. I got more hate mail than I've ever received in my life. That's including here. I'm sorry. I tickle myself. Back on subject. There were people that were just furious. How dare I say anything about this area of they're just, you know, you shouldn't preach about it, you shouldn't talk about it, shouldn't do anything about it. And I'm going, but being born again will free you from the vices of life, the things of life. And I know we're all struggling with different things, but the Holy Spirit is here to make a difference in your life because you're born again. And I will state one more time, if you're not born again, all of this sounds like garbage to you. All this sounds like silliness. You're going, this guy's nuts. What, you know, bandwagon did he fall off just recently? You and I must be born again, and there's results of it. Marvelous results. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Anybody need the peace of God? It comes from being born again. How about the joy of the Lord is your strength? Anybody for some joy? It comes from being born again. It doesn't come by being morphed into the kingdom of God, somehow growing in incremental slots and to where you look and act and behave like other Christians. That is not being born again. It is a moment, a time in your life where God reaches down from heaven, touches you. You repent of your sin. God did not come here to forgive oopses, problems, difficulties. Oh, you've had a bad day. He came and He died on the cross to forgive sin and sinners, which the Bible says I'm the chiefest of. How many is the chiefest of sinners? Woo! I'm in good company today. I want to tell you, salvation, being born again, will revolutionize your life. And all the things in the Word of God, you are now able to take hold of, to say that's mine. I've heard people say, oh, that promise is mine, that promise. It's only your promise if you're born again. If you're not, it has nothing to do with you. Wow. You say, well, the Lord has an obligation to hear the sinner. Well, no, not really. Because even in that, God says the Spirit is the one draws you. You don't jump up one day and say, well, I'm going to go to church and be saved today. That's all cool and well, and maybe God will honor that and save you. But that's not really how it happens. The Holy Spirit convicts and draws. That's the only way you really get saved. And so again, I'm concerned sometimes. Let me see what time it is. Well, thank you. Oh, another half hour? No. What does it require to be Christian? Let me just read you a few things I have down here. Fall on your knees and admit you are a worthless sinner. Repent, admit, confess, forsake your sins, accept the work of God in your heart that Christ died on Calvary. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died in your place, arose from the grave, and will give you righteousness. One of the things that's always bugged me down through my years as pastor is that people would run to an altar and get saved. How's like that parenthesis? Get saved. But really what they were doing is their wife found out something about them, or their husband found out something about them, or the cops are coming to get them, or they're going through a bankruptcy. And they run to the altar and ask God, God, forgive me of this so that I can get out of it. Can I please, God, give some help in this area of my life so I can get out of this problem? And one of the things you should understand is the very first time you come to God, it is not coming to God and saying to God, oh God, could you forgive me of being an alcoholic, a drug addict, an adulterer, cheating here and doing this and stealing money. That's not what you're being forgiven of. What you're being forgiven of is your lack of trust in Him to save your soul. You've lived your life and you haven't trusted Him, the God of the universe, to come down and save your soul. That's what you're repenting of. And so if you've always been down to the altar and you said, you know, hey, I'm going to go to the altar again because I'm going to get caught and somebody's going to be mad at me and I need God's help in that, you're missing the whole point. You don't want forgiveness of those little things. He'll take care of those things after you get saved. What you want to do is say, God, I just haven't trusted You. I haven't been what You want me to be. I want You into my life to be Lord and Master and Savior of my life. You will not be perfect all the time, but a God will move into your life and start working in your life to do amazing things for you. I can tell you right now, and again, not perfect, if I had the big one right here in front of you, all over dead, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Let me see. I think I might add this to the Bible. It says, His Spirit shall bear witness with my spirit that I am right now a son, a daughter of the Lord. What confidence? There are some of you, maybe, that wrestle every day of your life. Well, am I a Christian? If I would die now, would I go to heaven? If the rapture took place, I hope I'd go. I wish I would go. You don't have to live your life that way if you're born again. You can say, God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am born again. And no matter what happens in my life through death, the rapture of the church, what doesn't matter, I am where You are at because You've saved me. And someday you will get to heaven. And someday you will stand before, the judgment seat of Christ, because that's where Christians stand. And the Lord will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And it goes all the way back to being born again. Everything that happens after that is gravy. It is a blessed time to be in the kingdom of God and experience all the wonderful stuff. But it only happened because at some time in your life you were born again. Same thing as being born in the natural. The only way you experience the things you experience is because you were born one time. There's no non-born people here. That'd be really weird. There's none non-born people here. And I want to tell you, there'll be no one in the kingdom of God that has not been born again. The question very simply is, and I think this is what we need to ask people from time to time, are you born again? Very simple question. And see, I don't want people walking out of here today going, man, He crushed my heart. I don't know if I'm Christian or not. I just don't know. He ruined my life. I don't want you to be that way. But I do want you to say, Lord, examine my heart. Examine my life. And if there's a need somehow for me to come to You, maybe for the first time or the 100th time, I don't know, and solidify that I'm saved, you need to do that. And then God will start changing your heart, changing your life, working in you, doing marvelous things. The gifts of the Spirit are open to you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is open to you. The wisdom that comes from God is open to you. I mean, you can list a million things that the Bible talks about. They're only open to people that are born again. Period. Period. Bow your heads this morning. Father, we love You. What an incredible, incredible God You are. How You love us. How You care for us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus as we live in this world that we live in. Father, that we would love this world that's lost and dying. There's no doubt about that. And Lord God, we would give them good words. We don't want to slam them and kill them. But Lord God, we would be an example of being born again. And when someone would ask us, Lord, about our lives, we could tell them, Lord God, about the wonderfulness of being born again and what the results of all of that is. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We glorify Your matchless and Your wonderful name. There is nobody like You. If you're born again this morning, I just want you to worship the Lord for that fact. Father, thank You, Lord God, that at age 15, Lord God, You touched my heart. You drew me to an altar. Lord God, You saved my soul. Thank you, Lord God, that even though I'm not perfect, you make intercession for me. And Lord God, bless this people, Lord God, here this morning. Lord God, let us present to the world this ideal. It's not out of hate, but it's out of love. We stand in the way of the world as it goes to its death. And we say, turn around. Don't go this way anymore. And Lord God, you will bless us and minister to us. With heads bowed just for a few moments, you would say to me, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never been born again as far as I know. You just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Balcony or down here on the floor, very, very quickly. You would say, I never remembered being born again. And I want to pray this morning that I would be. Anybody, very quickly, I'm not going to beg for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand this morning. I've only been here a couple times since we've come back, but I know that altars are still open if you really need them, you know. I know social distancing and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you, there's sometimes, we, as a pastor, we would go to district councils. That's where all the pastors get together. And if you think one pastor is good at pontificating, you get a bunch of pastors together. Service can go on and on and on sometimes. And I've sat where you've sat, and I've said to myself, please be quiet so I can pray. Please be quiet so I can come to an altar. Please open up the altar so I can just spend some time before the Lord. Today's a great day to do that. I know that we have elections Tuesday, craziness going on all around about us. You might want to pray for that. God is a good God, people. And so as they lead you into a song, don't care what it is, altars are open. And if you need salvation this morning or a rededication of your heart to the Lord, COVID or not, we'll have somebody pray for you, encourage you and bless you. You can come and do that. Amen. Father, we love you again this morning. Lord, we're going to be leaving here in just a moment. Oh, Lord God, we're going to be around an altar for a little bit. Don't know which one. Father, bless this people. Minister to this people. Lord God, bless this church. Fill it, Lord God, overflowing with hungry souls, Lord God, that need you to touch them. Lord God, do a miracle, Lord God, that only you can do. And Lord God, we thank you and we praise you and glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Altars are open. If you need something for the Lord, just to spend time. If you want prayer from somebody, feel free to let us know that. There's some already coming out. It's all right. If you're leaving this morning, I always told my congregation, give somebody a hug, a handshake, a hug around the neck. Can't do that now, I guess. Wave at somebody from a distance. God bless you. You'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning.
I'm hurting, broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.